and say after me, I hold in my hand the keys to the kingdom, the word of God, the authority of God. Whatever I bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. 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 I'm so glad that Jesus loves us. He really, really does. I want to call your attention this morning to two passages of scripture. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 5, and Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. In the mouth of two or three witnesses. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. And it's on the screen, but if you want to read from your own favorite Bible, you find it, please stand as we honor God in the reading of His Word this morning. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1 through 5. We will read responsively. I will read the odd verses. You will read the even verses. And we will read verse 5 together. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, I begin. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Together, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Somebody should have been shouting on that one. As I was with Moses, so I shall be with thee. I will never fail thee nor forsake thee. Now let's go to Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. Let's read together. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Do me a favor, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you need a fresh start. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Want to talk about a fresh start this morning. Using your failures to chart your future. See, a lot of people think that failures are all bad. But I want to submit to you this morning. Before we pray, that every successful person or anyone who has attained to any level of success will tell you that they experienced some failures in their lives before being successful at what they are now successful at. That should give somebody hope this morning. That should give somebody a reason to be hopeful this morning. Let us pray. Yahweh, the hour is come that your son Jesus, and Jesus alone, should and must be lifted up. For Jesus said, and if I am lifted up, I, Jesus, will draw men or women or boys and girls unto me. So lift Jesus up again today, right now. May Jesus be seen clearly. May Jesus be heard and understood without any ambiguity. When this experience shall have come to a pause, may Jesus be honored. May Jesus be obeyed. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever. And the people of God say amen. 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 A fresh start. This is the second Sabbath in 2017. And I don't know about you, but I thank God for a fresh start. There were things that I had decided to do in 2016 that I didn't do quite well. There were goals that I had made. You know how we do on New Year's Eve? What to call them? Resolutions. And by April, you're depressed because you're right back where you started. And you don't seem to be making any progress in those resolutions that you made. Well, I got good news for you today. That the God we serve is a God of a fresh start. A matter of fact, I want to posit to you that most of the people that you and I have heard about or read about that are successful in life will testify to you that their success did not come at their first trial. That some of them failed miserably. But they kept trying again and again and again and again. Albert Einstein, the noted physicist, history tells us that when he was 4 years old, he still had not learned how to talk. Matter of fact, he didn't learn to read until he was 7 years old. And his parents and teachers thought he had a mental deficiency. Albert Einstein. I can talk about Thomas Edison. His teacher told him he was too stupid to learn. Now, you know who Thomas Edison is. He's the one who invented the light bulb. Thomas Edison, history tells us, tried and failed 1,000 times. I wish somebody would get encouraged today. I can see Sister Paula trying and failing 2 times. 3 times. I could even go 10 times. But we would have never had the light bulb if Edison had threw up his hand and said, I've done this 10 times and I'm not getting it anywhere. The history books tell us that he tried 1,000 times before he got it right. But not just do I want to tell you about Thomas Edison, but Winston Churchill, who is recorded as one of the greatest leaders that England or Great Britain, yet the world, has ever had. Winston Churchill was elected twice as Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. Winston Churchill was given the Nobel Peace Prize. But Churchill was so bad as a young man in his educational pursuit, he flunked the sixth grade. I'm trying to give somebody hope here this morning. Henry Ford, the noted visionary of the Ford Motor Company in Dearborn, Michigan, failed miserably at his first business that he went bankrupt. And Henry Ford today is the architect of what we call the Ford Motor Company today. And I can go about telling you about Bill Gates, who dropped out of college. And I think his parents were just mystified. They ain't no more. Oprah Winfrey, who had a child out of wedlock at 13 years old in Mississippi and was told that she was too fat and too dark to be on TV. Now it's bad enough for you to make your own mistakes and fail. It's something else for people to point them out and begin to tell you why you will not become anything. But aren't you glad this morning that one thing that all of these people that I've named, and I can go on and on and on and tell you about others who are recorded in history as successful today, one thing they have in common is that they all failed at least once or twice. But we serve a God, and even though most of them will not confess and admit that the reason they are successful today is because Yahweh, the God of other chances, give them a second chance. And I stop by to tell you today, my brothers and sisters, that that same God can give you and I another chance. And if the truth be told, if some of us will just open the closet just a little and let you peep in our calendars, we will testify that God is not just a God of a second chance, but he's a God of a 50th chance, 75th chance, 100th chance. I'm just going to testify by myself. He has given me chances and chances and chances and chances again. Every time I mess up, I turn around and say, it's me again, Lord. And he said, my grace is sufficient. Is there two people in here who can testify that God is a God of a fresh start? And this is where we find ourselves in our passage, found in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. Israel has been in bondage for many years. You know the story. They cried to God, and God finally decided that the time was right. And the time was right. Sends Moses to deliver them. And on their way out of Egypt, after God had rained down 10 plagues in the face of Pharaoh, the most potent leader at that time, God says to him, "Let me let you know, Pharaoh, that you may be king, but I'm king of kings. And when I get ready, I'll do what I choose to do. I'll free who I choose to free." Ah, somebody missed their shout. I'll deliver who I choose to deliver. Israel is marching 6,000 people strong out of Egypt. And they get to the Red Sea. They find themselves in a cul-de-sac. The Red Sea is in front of them. On one side is the Beelzebub mountain range. On the other side is the Pihahiroth mountain range. In the back of them is the sound and echoes of chariots of Pharaoh and his army galloping behind them. They are stuck, so he sings. Aren't you glad that we have a God that when he gets ready to display his power, he makes people think you are stuck? I just want to talk to that young lady who has had two children or three children out of wedlock with two or three different men, don't even know who the fathers are, where they are in the world, think they are stuck. I just want to talk to that man this morning who has had several mismarriages. You heard me say mismarriages. In other words, it really wasn't intended for you. You thought it was yours, but it really wasn't yours. And it's gone, and you're still messed up thinking about it. I want to talk to that mother, that woman, that girl, that man who has been violated, discouraged, had done some stuff themselves to bring themselves in a cul-de-sac of life. And everybody think you are stuck until God tells you to stretch. And Israel crosses the Red Sea on dry land. But like we said last week, they were out of Egypt, but they won't get Egypt out of themselves. They won't let God get Egypt out of them. And so they are wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. Biblical historians say that it would have taken the better of 3 weeks to get from Egypt to Canaan, to get to the promised land. But it took them 40 long years. But I'm so glad that my God is the God of a second chance. Because the Bible says that even though they've been in this wilderness for 40 years, even though they had gotten used to wilderness blessings, instead of anticipating Canaan land blessings. Here where the people that God said, I'm going to deliver you by my mighty hand, and I'm going to bring you into a land flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to let you sleep in houses you didn't build. I'm going to let you eat from vineyards you didn't plant. But because God has subsidized them in the wilderness by raining manna from heaven, that we're so used to subsidized living that they forgot to think about the covenant promises that God has made to them. I stopped by to tell somebody at 4555 Fairfields Avenue, God may be allowing you to survive on subsidized living, but God does not intend your life to be a subsidized life. God wants you to be the head and not the tail. Is anybody listening to me? God brings them to a new river. Now, let me share something with you. Because Paul says that the Israelites were baptized symbolically through the Jordan. I mean, through the Red Sea. And I want to say, my brothers and sisters, that is symbolic of their salvation. But salvation, listen to me carefully, does not automatically translate into earthly success. Let me say that again because somebody missed it. Because you and I are saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, anticipating the second coming, does not necessarily mean that we can be successful in this life. And these preachers that teach this measuring of your relationship with God by how large your house is, how nice your car is, how expensive your neighborhood is, or lying to you. They're not preaching biblical doctrine. Let me share this with you, my brothers and sisters. Salvation does not automatically translate into earthly success. Salvation is the result of the work of God through Christ Jesus. That's why poor people can get saved, and rich people can get saved, and educated people can get saved, and ignorant people can get saved. The only thing you need to be saved is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shall be saved. I don't know if you read something else in the scripture, But my Bible tells me that by grace are we saved through faith. It is not a work, lest any man should boast. It is a gift of God. We're saved by grace, but success, on the other hand, is the result of obedience to God's covenantal laws of abundant living. Who believed the word of God today? So some of us will be poor all of our lives because we refuse to be obedient. And we will still make it to heaven. But we just gonna have to wait for our success in the sweet by and by. See, when God told Abraham, I'm going to deliver Israel from Egypt and bring them to the promised land, after they have served 430 in 20 years. God knew that we're going to go to Egypt. He already said it to Abraham when he made the covenant with Abraham. That deliverance was a two-part deliverance. One, it was symbolic of salvation. And the other, it was a natural deliverance for earthly success. So that your salvation does not necessarily have any link to your earthly success. Now, it may impact your earthly success. If you have a change of mind because you are now being led by the Spirit of God and become obedient. Matter of fact, it can also negatively impact your salvation. Either by your success or the lack thereof. So don't let anybody make you think that you can measure your salvation by earthly success. Because if you can, then your new president must be very holy. And Mother Teresa must be busting hell wide open. You catch my drift? Success can impact your salvation negatively or positively. Having success or the lack thereof. But don't ever measure your relationship with God in the depth of it by what you have physically or don't have. I thank God that he is a God of a second chance. And the mistake that we've made as parents and as spiritual leaders is to drive in our young people that their success in this life is intricately attached to their salvation. So we tell them to dress a certain way. Because if you do that, you are saved. No, if you do that, you might get the job at the interview. Don't put all of that junk on your body. Because if you do that, you get saved. No. If you do that, they might not call you back after the first appearance. You're walking in there for interview and you got tattoo all over you, hair all over the place, ring in your nose. And of course, we are in this country that, you know, you have to be politically correct. So they'll give you the first interview. And then they say, we'll call you. That's a nice way of saying don't show back up. See, so we have to, when we tell our kids, stop listening to that kind of music. Get off from in front of the television. Because the reason we are in the plight we are in is because I've been in front of the television all my life. So I don't want, see, here's the thing, Sister Joan. We can tell the truth to our children. We paint this picture of a rose-colored glass, you know, and then they find out that we're not all we crack up to be. Now, I'm not just talking about children. I'm talking about anybody we try to witness to. And so I thank God for, I don't know, when I was in school, because I wasn't as smart as most of you. So I used to be thankful for something called a makeup test. Anybody know anything about that? Okay, there's a few people here like me. A makeup was not intended to lessen the gravity or the intensity of the test. Matter of fact, it wasn't intended to cause the student to fail. It was intended to help the student have a second chance at the test. A second chance at success. Now, one of the things that I noticed about makeup, and I discovered it real quick, when I asked some of my friends for the test. Confessing is good for the soul. And I saw question number one, question number two, question number three, question number four. And I went in there. I'm all cramped up. I remember it. And then I get there. And what you will find and discover with those of you who are teachers here, I know you do it to your students. The makeup test is the same test. It is just not laid out the same way the first test was. So question number one becomes question number six. Question number two becomes question number five. Question number 10 becomes question number one. And you get up in there and you are messed up because you're not prepared for the. Am I talking to anybody up in here? See, and one of the things that I've discovered about God's mercy and his grace and his second chance-ness is that God always brings us right back to the test. See, Israel is coming out of Egypt and they've come to the Red Sea and failed the test. Because they're crying, they want to murder Moses. Why did you bring us out here? And we could have died in Egypt, and they were dying. And so Moses cried to God. You know the story. God told Moses, stretch the rod. He stretches the rod. The Red Sea opens. They go through. God brings them right back because he's not going to take them to second level blessing until they've passed first level exam. So he brings them back to another body of water. This time the water is called the Jordan. And God gets the water there the same. Now let me tell you how he changes the test. At the Red Sea, he tells Moses, stretch the rod. At the Jordan, he tells Joshua, tell the priest to step in the water. See, I'm so glad that they were in Adventist. Because the first thing they would have said was, you see what happens when you bring these new preachers, these young preachers from the seminary. You know, our old pastor, he never told us to step in the water. How you going to step in the water with the ark of the Lord? What if they slip and fall? We ain't never done it like this before. When Pastor Brown was here, he used to stretch the rod before we got through. Conference on sinners, this crazy pastor, no, he ain't stretching the rod. He said we should walk in the water first to say, whoever, we don't even know how deep the water is. All right, let me leave that alone because you got, see, I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about other churches that I've been at. But God was giving them a makeup test. God says to Joshua, get the people, have the priests with the ark of the Lord to come in front of the people and step in the water. And oh, bless his name. When the priest stepped in the water, as they began to walk, water just began to open up, and the people went on dry ground. But my brothers and sisters, there are three lessons that we need to learn from this makeup test. How many lessons, everybody? Three lessons that we need to learn from this makeup test. And the first is the lesson of the revelation. Everybody said the revelation. What is the revelation? Here's where we find the revelation. We find the revelation in Joshua chapter 1 in verse number 1 and 2. Here's what the Bible says. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, read that with me. Moses, my servant. Now, wait a minute, God. This is Joshua you're speaking to. You've already said he's the minister of Moses. He's the assistant to Moses. Joshua knew that Moses was dead. So why is it that God is taking time, Elder Landry, to remind Joshua of Moses' death? Because when we are given second chances, before God takes us to next level blessing, he must give us a revelation. He must make sure that we are clear in the revelation. What is the revelation? A transition of mindset. Turn to your neighbor and say, a transition of mindset. God is saying, if you are going to get a house, you got to stop thinking like an apartment dweller. If you are going to, I'm about to step on somebody's toe. If you are going to get married, you got to stop thinking like a single person. If you are going to be a supervisor, you got to stop acting and thinking like an employee. See, that says Moses, what God was saying, and I like the passage. Here's what the passage said. And God spake unto Joshua, Moses' assistant or minister, and said, Moses, my servant. Did you hear that? The redactor is very careful to make sure we get that, because most of us, in our second chances, we disabuse ourselves of all of the benefit of the first chance, or all of the spiritual leaders in our lives. In other words, anybody that is going to be successful at anything, oh, help me, God, I want to say this the way I should say, that they have to learn to be subjected to the spiritual leader that God has placed over them at the particular season they're in. Let me say that again. Somebody didn't catch it. If you are going to be successful at anything, the spiritual leader that God has placed over your life for that particular season, you have to be subjected to that leader. You can't be stuck on the old leader. Now here's where it gets tricky. There are principles that the old leader may have taught that do not change. They are built upon. That's why when you are in kindergarten and move to first grade, they don't tell you to forget what you learned in kindergarten. They're built on that. You get to junior high, you are actually building on what you learned in kindergarten, first grade, second grade. I wish three teachers would agree with me here. When you get to high school, when you get to college, let me tell you a little story. My favorite teacher was my third grade teacher, Miss Sherman. Miss Sherman was the best teacher I ever had. Because when I was under Miss Sherman in the third grade class, we didn't have homeroom. We just had a room. In other words, I did arithmetic, English, science, social studies, whatever, spelling, reading, I did it all under Miss Sherman. And the reason I liked Miss Sherman was because when the bell went off for the next class or the next session and I wasn't done with my last work, Miss Sherman would say to me, Theo, stay with it. The other kids will move on, but you can finish and then we'll bring you in. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And then when school was out, Erica, and I wasn't completed, she would give it to me to take home as homework. That was Mrs. Sherman. Oh, I just love Miss Sherman. But then I got promoted to the fourth grade. And the first day I walk in class, I learned that Miss Sherman was no longer my teacher. I had a new teacher. Matter of fact, I had several new teachers. And now we have what they call homeroom. You started in homeroom and you ended up in homeroom the last period. But in between periods, when the bell went off, you pick up your books and your book bag and you left that room and you headed to the next room because some other kids were leaving their room and coming to that room. Mrs. Sherman wasn't here anymore. I don't care whether you finish your work or not, you better get. See, now if I wanted to get to fifth grade, I couldn't sit there and cry, over, I wish Miss Sherman was my teacher. I had to do what fourth graders did, and that was do my work, and at the sound of the bell, pick up my books and head to the next class, because the other students were coming in that class. That's what I'm trying to teach us today. God wants to take us to the next level, but the problem is we are still thinking third grade when we should be thinking fourth grade. The reason most of us are jumping jobs is because we don't realize that your boss is actually a spiritual leader on that job. So he calls you in. Proche, I need you to do this. Well, he's not. Man, I ain't listening to that man. He said, on my last job, this ain't your last job. And when you don't learn to follow God's coach and God's leader over you, you're always going to be chasing your tail because you will never be able to grow and succeed anywhere. I hear children today, you know, some adult tell them, don't do this. You ain't my mama. No, I may not be your mama, but right here, right at this time, when your mama isn't here and your daddy isn't here, God placed me here. And let me just add this little in for my deacons. I had a meeting with my deacons, and I said, Deacon, I said, I'm going to get on the pulpit and empower you and let the families of this church know that you guys are the spiritual leaders. You got to make sure these kids are not running up and down here. And one of the deacons said, well, Pastor, you know, the parents will get mad at us. I said, no, they won't. Not in this season. We're not going to abuse their children. We're not going to violate their children. But we're going to let their children know, and we're going to let the parents understand that we are in a new season, and God has brought new coaches and new leaders, and we're not just going to let anybody run up and down here, and not at the Berean church. We don't do that. And when you see one of them doing, you stop it. Joseph, I'm going to take you to your mama. Susie, stop running down that hall. Come right here. Deacon Scott, gonna take you to your daddy. See, because if we don't teach our young people now to understand coaching and spiritual leadership in the seasons, varied seasons of their lives, so God is saying to Joshua, the revelation is Moses is dead. Now, there were some good things that Moses did. There were some great things that that last relationship did. There were some good things that that last experience did for you. And I understand it. But that experience is over. Turn to your neighbor and say, get over it. It's gone. It's done. If you want to get to the next level, you have to pick up and move on. And this brings us to our second lesson. Our first lesson is the what, everybody? The revelation. And what is the revelation? Transition of mindset. The second lesson is the instruction. The what, everybody? Here's where we find the instruction. We find the instruction in Joshua chapter 1, verse 2b. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people. God will never give us a revelation without following it with an instruction. Most of us walk around here. We understand the 2,300 days. And what are you doing about it? Did you not get the notice, the text message, the email? Because there's an instruction in it. God is not looking for people who are just educated. People who knows everything about the Bible and Ellen White. God wants you to do something about it. He says, I like God. He said, wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom. But in all of your getting, get understanding. You know what? I told you I'm not that smart, but I found what understanding is. Understanding is knowing when to and when not to. That's understanding. The reason some of us can be faithful in our tithe and offering is because we didn't know when to buy that car. Turn to somebody and say, that's understanding. You got wisdom. You know you need to buy a car. You know that hoopty is on his last leg. But understanding said your check ain't adding up to enough for you to get a car right now. So get on the bus. Get a ride from a friend. Invest a little more in the hoopty. That's understanding. Turn to somebody and say, that's understanding. I don't know who God sent me to talk to this morning, but I'm trying to help me and help somebody else. We got a lot of wisdom, but we don't have understanding. That's why you lost that last job, because you didn't know when to shut up and when to talk. See, wisdom is you got the education, you got the degree, you got the certificate. But understanding is, Mr. Brown is my boss, and if I talk to him any kind of way, I can get fired. That's understanding. So you wait till Mr. Brown is in his office by himself, and then you walk up in there, and you try to talk to him man on man, or you go to HR. But you stand up in there in front of everybody talking about, I tap, and the next day you got a pink paper. Talking about, Pastor, pray for me. I just lost my job. Nah, I ain't praying for you. You don't have understanding. But I thank God that Pastor Wegar ain't God. Amen. Amen. God is a God of a second chance. He said, I know you're crazy. You don't lost six jobs because you're crazy. But I'll give you another chance. You in your fourth marriage, but I'll give you another chance. Don't push me. I'm going to go there. and the last three husbands or wives ain't dead yet. Turn to somebody and say, get understanding. So the instruction follows the revelation. And the instruction is, get up. Don't sit here, cry all day, worried about how you're going to do it. Don't worry about it. God's got it under control. He's telling you to get up. Turn to somebody and say, let's get up out of here. Don't be satisfied with mediocrity. Don't be satisfied with same old, same old. Don't be satisfied with not having. Don't be satisfied with begging and asking and letting other people do it for you. Don't be satisfied with subsidized living. Get up. God wants me to tell Berean today, get up and go over that Jordan. I know the Jordan is big and wild and is probably crescent right now. And you can't understand how you're going to get over it. But just start walking and start stepping in. And God will open a highway in the Jordan. Because the responsibility of making it work is not yours. It is God's. The responsibility of taking the instruction and doing what God says do, when all of your family and friends and everybody else think you're crazy, is on you. Because when you do what God says, God will do what he does. Then we go to the second lesson is the instruction, get up and go. But the third lesson is the provision and the protection. I like God. You know, God is so big and bad, church. He'll tell you to do crazy stuff, and then he'll back it up with a provision and protection. See, God says, here it is. It's in the word. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 5. Here, this is the best part of the text for me. I like the revelation. Moses is dead. I know it. You know it. I like the instruction. Get up and go. I know it. You know it. But this is the part that I like. God said, everywhere that the sole of your feet touches, I'm going to give to you. Man, if I was the children of Israel back in that day, I would just start walking. You know, I'm walking all the way from Baton Rouge to New Orleans. I don't pass Gonzales. I'm just walking. I become Forrest Gump. Run, Forrest, run. Somebody said, what's wrong with you? We God. God told me to walk everywhere where my foot touched. I stopped by to tell Berea, God told us to walk. Get up and start doing something. Get up and start claiming this city. Get up and start claiming this state. Get up and start. I wish somebody would hear me today. God said, wherever your foot touched, because I'm going to give it to you. If you are crazy enough to believe me, I'm crazy enough to make it happen. Is there two people in here who can shout, do it, God? God say, everywhere that your foot touch. Sister Austin, he said, I'll give it to you. I give you the Canaanites land. I give you the Perizzites land. I give you the Hittites land. You know, some of us say in here, you know, well, God, you know, I don't want people to think I'm greedy. Man, walk. It doesn't belong to them. It belonged to me. I own everything. And I'm telling you to walk. And then he backs it up with the protection. Here's the protection. He says, there shall not. Donald Trump, enemy. Congress, enemy. The Senate, enemy. New Orleans, enemy. Baton Rouge, enemy.
Alexandra, enter wherever your foot took, and I will not let any man step before. Is that two people in here who can say, God, I'm going to start walking, because I know as they start coming, you will start taking them down. I want a fresh start, because nobody can touch me. Nobody can stand before me. Nobody can stop me. I just want a fresh start. Turn to your neighbor and say, a fresh start. Standing around here scared. God said, go get that doctor. Where's Sister Hakim? Talk about, well, you know, I'm hearing the workload. God said, man, just go ahead and get it. Wherever your foot touch, go ahead and get it. I got a member here, and I'm not going to call any name, but I just love to testify. I got a member here that was you know, at a place of employment that they didn't like, and they wanted to change stuff, and they were looking for one thing, and God didn't do it, and we had prayed, and I called the member. I said, how did it go? And the member said, I didn't get it. I said, okay, let's pray again. We're just going to thank God at least for the opportunity. You got to get an interview with her. Then the member called me back and said, Pastor, the one that I got make the one that I didn't get look like child's play. I talk about the God that we serve. When God gets ready to bless you, no man can stop you. What did the songwriter say? What God has for me? Yeah, you can be a hater. I said, stop hating and congratulate. You know, don't hit the player. Just join the team. Learn how to play the game, because God's got his own game. And that game is that success for his people is dependent on their obedience to the law of blessing without sweating. So we have the three lessons that we learn from this case study, this makeup test. The first is the revelation. Moses is dead. Yeah, I know. You want 2016 to come back. I got news for you. The next time you see 2016, it's going to be 2116, and you won't be around here. So just let it go. Moses is dead. But the instruction to the revelation is get up. Everywhere your foot touch, I've given it to you. And then don't look behind and worry about somebody hurting you, because I got you covered. You know, I'm so glad that my God is the God of a second chance. And not only is he a God of a second chance, but he's a God of a fresh start. And the fresh start is the provision is that you and I will step on lands and God will give it to us. We will step on properties and God will give it to us. We will walk in neighborhoods. He may not give us the neighborhood as land and houses, but he'll give us the neighborhood as people. Oh, I wish two people were listening to me. God is getting ready to do a new thing, and he wants you and I to have a fresh start. And to get that fresh start, we need the revelation. But we got to go beyond the revelation, because God is giving us an instruction. And when we follow the instruction, God will make the provision and give the protection. And if God be for us, I said, if God be for us, who can be for us? Brand, I'm just a mailman, but I got good mail this afternoon. And that mail is God is giving us a fresh start. Yes, you were hurt last year, but you got a fresh start. Yeah, you were disappointed last year, but you got a fresh start. Yeah, you were discouraged last year, but you got a fresh start. Yes, somebody talked about you like a dog last year, but you got a fresh start. Somebody disappointed you last year, but you got a fresh start. Somebody gave up on you last year, but how many of you are glad that we got a fresh start? And we got a fresh start because all of it is dependent on Yahweh. He is the God of a new start. He is the God of provision. He is the God of restoration. He is the God of protection. He is the God of security. He is the God of peace. He is the God of love. He is the God of abundance. He is the God of increase. The Bible says, if you trust me, I will provide for you. If my people who are called by my name will turn from the wicked ways, seek my face and call on me, he said, I will hear from heaven. I will heal their land. Is there two people in here who want their land to be healed? Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. I want to eat the good of the land. What about you? I want to get the best. What about you? God can do it. Won't he do it? Won't he change us? Won't he save us? Won't he provide for us? Won't he protect us? Won't he restore us? Won't he make it? Won't he do it? Say it. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. So he's calling you and me to come today. Come for that new start. Everybody's standing. Everybody's standing. Everybody's standing. God is calling.